Just wanted to make sure I had everything in order. Okay, so are you ready to receive the word? Oh, come on. Let's lift up our Bibles, lift up our hands, our iPods, or our devices, and let's prophesy over the living word of God. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the precious word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. Because I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. Never in Jesus' name. Amen. If you believe it, shout a little louder. Amen. Come on. The devil doesn't like the church to shout. And I'm telling you, there's a time for shouting. There's a time for crying. There's a time for weeping. There's a time for mourning. And there's a time for quiet and solemn times. But the church needs to be shouting. We need to be shouting victory. We need to be shouting from the housetops, the rooftops, and the heavenlies. And so thank God for that. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to continue in Psalm 34. Before I get to that, I'd like to tell a funny story I heard the other day. It's about a husband named Bubba and his wife from Arkansas. And they lived out in the country. And one day this stray dog came up the lane, and Bubba and his wife decided they just needed to take it back out in the country and leave it off. So Bubba got in the pickup and took him out in the country a little ways, dropped him off, and drove back home. And a little while later, sure enough, the stray dog came right up the lane. And so Bubba decided they better take him a little farther out. So he went out a mile or two and dropped him off and came back. And sure enough, a period of time later, the dog came up the lane. Well, and Bubba's wife looked at him and said, "You're just not taking him out far enough. You need to really, really take this stray dog somewhere way far out." And so he did. And so he was gone for quite a while, and for several hours, actually. And all of a sudden, the wife saw this stray dog coming back up the lane. And then the phone rang, and it was Bubba. And Bubba said, "Is the dog there?" And she said, "Yes." "Well, send him back. I don't know how to get home." I thought it was good. I really got a good laugh in the first service. Well, we do appreciate the appreciation. We should all be cheering one another on and showing our appreciation for who everybody is and what they do. And I'm thankful for we don't do this alone. We have a lot of prayer support from all of you, from other leaders, and we're thankful for that. Thankful for our sound men in the back that help us. We're thankful for our flag worshipers. We're thankful for our hospitality people, our greeters, everything. It just all takes a whole group of us. But so today, as we look into Psalm 34, we looked at the first seven verses last week, and today we're going to look at the verses 8 through 15, and we're going to go ahead and just read through these, and then I'm going to kind of piece them out, and I just pray that you would get five nuggets to take home. I usually say one, but I think it's time to say five. Can you believe for five? Yeah. Everyone say, "I believe for five." Yeah. Drink deeply. Yeah. Don't drink shallow. Drink deeply. It's like when my dog's thirsty, and I put him up and let him drink out of my hand, and if he's thirsty, man, look out. I mean, he just takes off after that. That's the way we need to be about drinking deeply of the pleasures of God. Experience for yourself the joyous mercies who gives to all who turn to hide themselves in Him. Worship in awe and wonder, all you who have been made holy. And in another version next to that, who've been made holy, it calls us saints. In the Old Testament, and I realized how many verses talk about saints in the Old Testament. So if you see holy ones, that's a saint. For all who fear him will feast with plenty. Even the strong and the wealthy grow weak and hungry, but those who passionately pursue the Lord will never lack any good thing. Come, children of God, and listen to me. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to us so many times. Come, children, listen to me. I'll share the lesson that I've learned of fearing the Lord. This is David in one of the worst times of his life. He lost his best friend, Jonathan. His predecessor, King Saul, was trying to kill him, demonically possessed King Saul, and he was all by himself. And these are things that he's writing because he learned the secret to living life in highs and in lows. And he said, do you want to live a long, good life? Do you want to enjoy the beauty that fills each day? Then never speak a lie or never allow wicked words to come from your mouth. Keep turning your back on every sin. Make peace your life motto. Practice being at peace with everyone. And the Lord sees all that we do. He watches over his friends day and night. His godly ones receive the answers they seek whenever they cry out to him. And may the Lord, the Holy Spirit, add a blessing to these words, that you'll be touched. You'll be saturated. You'll be soaked by revelation. So starting at verse 8, drink deeply of the pleasures of this God. Experience for yourself the joyous mercies he gives to all who turn to hide themselves in him. I'm telling you, church, there is no greater pleasure on the planet than knowing God. It is a pleasure to know God. Amen? I know I'm talking to the choir, but it's good to emphasize it. And then it says, experience for yourself the joyous mercies. I had an evangelical pastor one time tell me that you can't experience God. And we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How many experience God every day? Come on. And so I looked at him and said, so you're married? Yeah. I said, so you have a wife, right? Yeah. I said, do you experience her love? Yeah. We can experience the love of God. And see, God gives us wisdom in those discussions to speak truth in love and straighten some people out. Not that I know everything, but the things I know, I don't mind sharing. Amen? Experience for yourself the joyous mercies he gives to all who turn to hide themselves in him. And so, it's a pleasure to know, and it's a pleasure to experience God. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 23. Larry, I think you've got that in King James. Do you have it in the Message by chance? Is that a problem to pull it up there? And I'll be glad to wait, because I might have typed it wrong. I'll be glad to wait. I'll go ahead and read it while he's getting it up, and then we'll read it again, because it's so good. Lamentations chapter 3, in the Message, it says, God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They are created new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. I'm sticking with God. Say it over and over. He's all I've got. Here we go. Let's look at verse 23. Thank you, or 22, whichever one it is. I'm a little drunk up here today. God's loyal love. He is loyal. Loyalty is something that is missed and shined down upon in this society today. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. Even in our darkest hours, even in our lowest of lows, his loyal love never runs out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. That means there is never a famine of his loyal love. There might be famine of other things, but not of his loyal love. Next verse. And thank you for pulling that up, Larry. Hallelujah. They are created new. Everyone say new. His loyal love is new every morning. It's fresh. How great is your faithfulness? Verse 24. I'm sticking with God. I'm thinking it over and over. I'm sticking with God and what? Everyone say it. I'm sticking with God. And I say it over and over because He's all I got left. When you got nothing, you got everything. When you got nothing, you got everything. Because I've got God and I'm sticking with Him. I love that. Verse 9 of Psalm 34. Worship. Worship in awe and wonder all you who have been made holy. And I've got in parentheses saints. All of you who are saints, worship in awe and wonder. For all who fear Him will feast with plenty. Never lose the wonder. We got an unsaved person saying that over and over. Never lose the wonder. When we lose the wonder, we've lost it all. When we lose the wonder of how wonderful God is, we've lost it all. I can tell you why relationships go bad. It's because the wonder's been lost. Can I have an amen? So guard the wonder of your relationships. Guard it, especially in the marriage relationship. Amen? Verse 10. Even the strong and the wealthy can grow weak and hungry. But. Everyone say, but. I love the buts. But those who passionately pursue the Lord will never lack any good thing. Say, I'm created with passion. I'm created with passion. Yeah. It's not whether we're created with passion. It's what we direct that passion for. Now, in November, I just can't miss bringing this up. You could go up to Green Bay, Wisconsin on a Sunday afternoon, and you could see a bunch of Green Bay, Wisconsin Packer fans standing in the fans without shirts on, and it's 20 degrees below zero. That is passion. Now, if they can be passionate in the natural, we can certainly deserve to be passionate in the spirit. Because it's the spirit first and the natural second. So don't ever let somebody take your passion away. We can be passionate. Now, we were created with it. We were created with it and for it. So here's a statement I want to make about passion. Real simple. We pursue that which we have passion for. We pursue that which we have passion for. Now, there are passions for natural things that are okay, as long as they're not in the way of your passion for God. Can I have an amen? I can look at all of you, and I've known you long enough. I know a majority of you what your passions are. And you know mine. And you know Mary. We know each other well enough. We know your passions. As long as they don't get in front of your passion for God. Amen? Okay? Yeah. Yeah. I could give you all as an example, so I'm not going to start. Take all day. Yeah. Verse 11. Spirit of God says, come, children of God, and listen to me. When we get up on Sunday morning, we should have a place to go where the Spirit of God says, come and listen to me. Come and listen to me. If God's speaking, I'm here. If God's not speaking, I got other things I'd rather be doing. I'll find a place. In some of our darkest hours spiritually, we had to have a place where we could go and hear the Spirit of God say, come and listen to me. And hear the truth. Yeah, we would have driven. There was a time where it was dry and we would have driven 3 hours to a church where I always got a word of the Lord. Always. And the Lord knows that if this church had not been birthed, I would have driven that far. Lord knows that. Come, children of God, and listen to me. I'll share the lesson that I've learned of fearing the Lord. This is David talking in his lowest hours. He said, come, even in the midst of my lowest hours, I'm learning something. The opportunity to learn something is never not there. And we should always be open to learning. God, what are you teaching me? What do I need to hear from you? And so I wrote the words, brilliant wisdom. God wants to give us brilliant wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 in the Passion. For the wise, these proverbs will make you wiser. It's great to be wise. I love saying wise things. Sometimes I sit back and go, I'm looking at the words I spoke and I go, wow, that's pretty good. But it's not good enough because there's always more. Amen? When you give somebody a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or you're giving them a word in their life, it's awesome. It's very exhilarating. But see, there's more. There's always somebody else that needs another word. So you got to keep on top of your game plan, right? And so I think about brilliant wisdom. Graham Cook uses the word brilliant. I wish I could speak in an English accent. I love his English accent. Brilliant. Brilliant wisdom. So I had a moment of brilliant wisdom about a month ago in my office. And I'm going to share this story because it's just encouraging. I had a sophomore-ish in high school in the office, and good kid. He's the type of kid that if he sees me in a crowd, he'll come and say hi. He's not ashamed to walk up to his dentist and say hi. Very nice kid. Very young. Good family. They're church people. They do well. And I'm very thankful for him. Well, anyway, as the story goes, I said, how often are you brushing your teeth these days? I knew the answer, and he knew I knew. Only your hairdresser knows for sure. Right? So I knew for sure what the answer was. And he groaned at me and I said, yeah. A couple times a week, maybe. All right. Good teeth, you know, this type of thing. Let's make this right. So I needed some brilliant wisdom on the spot. So I'm sitting there in a millisecond, I'm waiting on God. He said, okay, here it is. I said, well, let me ask you a question. What bug do you absolutely abhor? Oh, he instantly says, I hate tarantulas. And I go, do you understand that you have millions of bacteria in your mouth? And guess what they look like? They look like tarantulas. So, if you've eaten breakfast and you've eaten lunch and you've eaten dinner and then you go to bed, those tarantulas, now I'm going to be blunt here, those tarantulas are eating all of your lunch and they're going pee and potty on your teeth and rotting them every night. Millions of black tarantulas, the ugly, hairy things that crawl all over. I mean, this kid was about to fall through the floor. So I said, message heard? Uh-huh. But see, that was brilliant. I hit him where it hurt the most. But that was brilliant wisdom that came from God. Boy, have I used that more and more since then. But that was, and see, God wants to, yeah, you guys will all do a pretty good job tonight, won't you? But the point is, it was brilliant. But it wasn't me. It was the Spirit of God that gave me brilliant wisdom. Even 40 years into this thing, 41 or how many ever years I've been in the thing. All right, so brilliant wisdom. Love that. And the Spirit of God is constantly saying that to us. Come. Come, my children. I want to give you more brilliant wisdom for your life. All right, verses 12 through 13. You can answer this question that David is asking out loud if you like. Do you want to live a long, good life? Uh-huh. Do you want to enjoy the beauty that fills each day? Uh-huh. All right. Then this is how you live a long life, and this is how you enjoy the beauty of each day. David is saying, never speak a lie or allow wicked words to come from your mouth. Now listen, church. He was in a rotten place, And King Saul had shot spears and arrows at him, trying to kill him. Don't you think a little bit of David's flesh would have liked to have lashed back a little bit at King Saul? Come on. Don't you think losing your best friend, Jonathan, wouldn't make your heart just kind of want to, God, why are you allowing this to happen? Don't you think that David did not, part of his flesh, go, why did you leave me alone? Why am I so alone? Wah! Call the ambulance. But this is what he said instead. This is how you shut down the flesh. Don't speak lies and don't allow wicked words to come from your mouth. That's how you shut down the flesh, because words matter. Everybody say that. Words matter. It's one of my favorite verses. Our calling card for the church has words matter on it. That's how important it is. I love that. So we don't allow those wicked words. Why? Because words are gifts. So what kind of gift are you giving people? Come on. Ephesians 4, verse 29. In the Old King James, it says, don't let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is acceptable in the sight of God our Father to build people up. But I like this in the Passion. Never let ugly or hateful words come out of your mouth. Be careful what you're saying about things. But instead, let your words become, everyone say it, beautiful gifts. I want to impart to you, when I'm teaching and preaching, beautiful gifts. And that should be our aim, which we'll get to that word in a minute, to encourage others. Because everybody needs encouragement. Shout amen, somebody. I need encouragement. You need encouragement. We need encouragement. So do this. How do you encourage others? By speaking beautiful gifts, words of grace, to help them. That was pretty stinking practical. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Keep turning your back on every sin and make peace your life motto. Remember, he's saying this with King Saul trying to cut his head off. Make peace. Make that your motto. Practice being at peace with everyone. I put the word aim. Why did I put the word aim down? Because you know what? If you're going to aim a rifle at something, you have to be intentional. I was even reading an article. My hunters in the house will appreciate this. I was reading an article in Field and Stream the other day. Just randomly picked it up. And it was talking about, are we too accurate? Because you can take a rifle, and you guys can correct me, you can take a rifle and 100% of the time shoot a target a mile away and hit it because of GPS and all the electronics that are done, you can hit it. It'll tell you exactly how far that sucker's going to drop. It's going to tell you how much it slows down in a mile, and it can hit the target every time. Have we gone too far to make it too perfect? Amazing. Well, we need to practice at being, we have to aim. We have to be intentional. We have to practice being at peace with everyone. We need to take aim to be at peace with everyone, and we need to hit the mark. Amen? Now, it's hard to do. And there, honestly, ask God, there are people that don't want to be at peace. And sometimes you have to back off. But that takes a word from the Lord. Yeah. Don't cast pearls before swine. It takes a real word from the Lord. Am I casting my pearls out? Am I putting my words out? We really need wisdom in that. The vast, vast majority of times, we need to practice peace, making peace our motto. Practice to be at peace with people. I had a situation in the office one time. This was quite a few years ago. I had a spirit-filled assistant that was working that day. Karen might remember this, but anyway, this individual person was accusing me of something that I had not done, and it was bad. They even used the swear word lawyer in the midst of their thing. And not that I'm anti-lawyer, but, you know, if you're starting to talk that way, you're pretty serious. And so I said, just a minute. I went in the bathroom, and my spirit-filled assistant was in another room. And the same word came to both of us at the same time. Isn't that awesome? And said, do what it takes to be at peace. And so I went back in and said, okay, I'll do what you're asking me to do. Even though it was wrong for me to do that, and it was going to cost me money and time, etc. But the Lord said, do what it takes to be at peace. So I did the procedure, and they were at peace. They were a little, they had some mental challenges, and I just wasn't going to get anywhere. But that's important. Do what it takes to be at peace with so many people. Amen? All right, next verse, verse 15. The Lord sees all we do. He watches over his friends, and I put the word covenant in there in brackets. Covenant friends, not just friends, covenant friends day and night. His godly ones receive the answers they seek whenever they cry out to him. I love the concept of covenant friendship. I love teaching on covenant. I have done it for quite some time. But whenever you see the word friends in the scripture, it's always talking about covenant. Covenant is the greatest binding force between two humans ever. There's nothing that's stronger than a blood covenant and the whole concept of that. And the three aspects of blood covenant is loyalty, protection, and provision. God will protect us to the end of their abilities. He gives provision to the end of exhaustion of personal resources, and he's loyal unto death. And he did die for us. That was loyalty. Loyalty to the mission. Hallelujah. And so I put down their covenant friends, remembering that. So as we go through this and think about some of these things, you know, God is good, and he's good all the time, and he loves us, and he cares for us, and he uses these things in Scripture to teach us something. So let's make peace our aim. Let's make love our aim. Let's make having brilliant wisdom our aim. Let's make sure that we passionately pursue the things of God. Let's wake up in the morning, God, never lose the wonder, you know? Just never lose that wonder of God. And it's really a pleasure to know God, isn't it? Amen? Let's stand. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, God, that your word is truth. Your word is alive. Your word is lovely. I thank you for the illumination of your word today, the brilliance of your word, Father, that came out today. You know, when people win the Nobel Prize, we think that they're brilliant. You know what? God is brilliant. His word is brilliant. So, Father, open that up, an illumination to our hearts and our minds today in a greater measure than ever before. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine brilliantly upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to go and to do the work of the kingdom this next week. And for that, we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Can you shout amen and give him a clap? Hallelujah. We love you. Have a great week.